Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So All Saints Sunday is the Sunday we have this thought that comes to mind immediately. This is the day we remember those who have died. Specifically in the life of the church, at the end of this service, we will say the names of those who have died in this congregation since last All Saints Sunday. It's an anniversary. It's a way that we remember and honor that life and the promises of eternal life. So we give thanks for the lives of the people who have died. We give thanks that there is a promise that there is a life with no sin, because we long for such a thing. We just heard God will wipe away every tear. Can you imagine how many tears have been cried in the history of time by all the people who have ever lived? That's quite a wiping away of tears. This is what we honor and remember on this day. It's interesting, then, I think, that we get the Beatitudes. I think I would expect that you would turn to the gospel reading for the day on All Saints, and it would be something about Jesus' resurrection and our unity there, or a promise that Jesus made that he will return, or something like that. But we get, "Blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." So then, of course, as I was reading about these words, about Jesus talking about being blessed, or sometimes we say blessed, these are words that Matthew wrote down about Jesus, and he uses the word makarios. And so I thought, well, I know that word is in Greek. It means happy or blessed, but I wondered. I know we also get the Beatitudes in Luke. So I wondered, did he use the same word, the same Greek word? Or is there another option, perhaps, in Greek for this concept of being blessed? And so I looked it up, and sure enough, there it is. It's the same exact word in Greek, in Luke, and in Matthew, makarios. One of the options when I looked that up, blessed or happy, we've heard that many times, and I was got a little struck by to be envied. That was one of the options for the meaning of the word blessed. So if you were to replace that, to be envied are those who mourn. It made me think a little differently, and actually it made me think of Mary when she sang her Magnificat, right? So then I realized she uses this word blessed too, so I went and looked that one up. Same word, different format, right? So she says, "All nations will call me blessed," makariousin. It's just the verb for that. And when she keeps singing, she says, this whole rotten power structure is going to be torn apart. It's going to be reordered. And the powerful will be sent away empty, and the poor and the meek and the weak, they will be lifted up. And that's what we hear in the Beatitudes, right? You're blessed if you're sad and mourning. You're blessed if you are meek. The hungry are to be envied. Those who practice mercy and not might are to be envied. So that's just what the church has been saying for all the generations of the church. The church has been whispering it and shouting it and singing and praying and marching it. The church has been dreaming and living through all the generations that this power structure is to be toppled and is in the process of toppling, and also by the death and resurrection of Jesus has been toppled in all of these mysterious ways. So the work of the saints, the work of the church, is to say that, to stand in the middle of the pain and say, even when it doesn't look like it, even when you cannot feel it, the truth is that love wins. If the chain of this message had broken down somewhere along the line, somewhere in the past, we might not be sitting here. Because somewhere, someone in your ancestry, I want to call it a faith ancestry. This is not about your DNA. This is the fact that someone way back in the history of the church told someone who 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 told you about Jesus. So let's try this. Choir, you are the apostles. You are Mary in the garden a couple of days after you watched Jesus die. You're chatting with him in the garden. You are Peter and John and Mark and Matthew and Luke. You are St. Paul, who experiences the risen Christ in a miraculous way and cannot stop talking about it. You have lived alongside Jesus, or you have learned from people who did live alongside Jesus. You live in the communities where he lived and preached and taught and healed and died and was raised. And you cannot keep from telling the story of what God has done in Jesus. And for our purposes today, your story is two words long. Life wins. So when I ask you, hey, apostles, what's the good news? You're going to say, life wins. Okay, I'll try it again. Hey, apostles, what's the good news?
Life wins.
Yeah. You folks here in this section, you're the moms and the dads and the grandmas and the grandpas throughout the centuries. You are the ones who have taught the children in your homes, out in the barns as you milked cows, and you taught your kids about what it means to live a Christian life. You brought your children to the font, every generation of you, and to Sunday school and to summer camp. Some of you paid for private liberal colleges that were founded by the church. Your children watched you be generous to your neighbors and to your congregation with your whole lives, through all the generations that you represent today, with your whole lives, the way you spent, saved, and shared your money, with the way you used your words and your bodies, you told the story of God. Sometimes you actually told the story of God as you found it in Scripture. You told it from rocking chairs, and you sang it while you snapped peas. You told it to your children when they were in pain and when they had big questions. And your story that you told with your lives through all these generations is that God loves the world. So when I say, hey, parents and grandparents, what's the good news? You're going to say, God loves the world. Ready? Hey, parents and grandparents, what's the good news?
God loves the world.
Hey, apostles, what's the good news?
Life wins.
Hey, parents and grandparents, what's the good news? And you here in the middle, you are those who did not necessarily bear a child with your body, but you raised the children in your community, in your village. You participated in the life of the villages of your life. You are the ones who, throughout the generations, spent time with kids who needed somebody to spend time with them. And you taught Sunday school for years and years, even if your kids weren't in it. And with your life and your time and your energy and your kindness, you told the story of God. You told the good news. And every time you poured your life out for the sake of someone who had you had no biological obligation to, you told the story of God. And your story has been, God's family is really big. So when I ask you, hey, village members, what's the good news? You say, God's family is really big. Hey, village members, what's the good news? Hey, apostles, what's the good news?
Life wins.
Hey, parents and grandparents, what's the good news?
God loves the world.
And village members, what's the good news?
God's family is really big.
And you over here, and you. You are the ones who have stood in the middle of the pain of the world. We officially call them social workers now. All the way back through every generation, there have been those who have lived and served in the midst of other people's pain. We used to have orphanages, and now we generally call it the foster care system. It's those people that you represent throughout the generations who have cared for those who don't have a home. We have always had prisons. We have always had students in classrooms who live in dangerous homes. You are the people who have lived in the midst of that and served the most vulnerable among us. You have served the people who have no voice and no power. You are the ones who stand with and for the powerless, and with your life and sometimes with your words, you say, hey, it's the meek and the weak and the hungry and the poor that Jesus gathers in and stands with over and over and over. With your life and your words, you tell the story of God, and your story is God is with you. So when I say, hey, companions, what's the good news? You say, God is with you. So hey, companions, what's the good news?
God is with you.
Hey, apostles, what's the good news?
Life wins!
Woo! Hey, parents and grandparents, what's the good news?
God loves the world.
Hey, village members, what's the good news?
God's family is really
big. Hey, companions, what's the good news?
God's
so, our freshest brother is with us today. His name is Jonathan. And if he'll let me, I'd like to introduce you to him. Oh, my hands are cold and he's warm. Oh, baby. This is Jonathan. Maybe you'll let me turn you around so they can see. You got to see all the lights? Hi, baby. So Jonathan is the freshest one among us. And he is... He's the present. We've been telling this story through all the generations. And so I think I would like you to tell him your story. So, apostles, tell Jonathan what the good news is.
Life wins.
Grandmas and grandpas and mamas and daddies, tell Jonathan what the good news is.
God loves the world.
Hey, villagers, what's the good news? Hey, companions, what's the good news?
God is with you.
God is with you, Jonathan, in every moment, all the time. So, he's being so good. Let us pray. Holy God, accept this morning our gratitude for the saints who have gone before us and the ways they have told your story. Give us courage and patience to persist in telling your story with our lives and our words. Amen. I have to give him back now. Thank you.